criticizing the film Miami Vice for its tired plot about undercover narcotics cops is to miss the point. The familiarity lets us know where we are, so we can comfortably revel in the elegance of the variation. The director, Michael Mann, is so in control, it's like he's taking a stroll around the block with a leopard on a chain. The film doesn't even have an opening credits sequence. In just seconds, we are in motion with Sonny Crockett, Colin Farrell, and Ricardo Tubbs, Jamie Foxx, in the middle of a drug bust in a pressed and sweating nightclub. These are men of action, longtime partners with no need for heart-to-heart conversations. They use jargon-heavy shop talk. When they do say something personal, it's to briefly touch base like soldiers in a battlefield. The bust is called off when Sonny gets a cell phone call from Alonzo, John Hawks, a federal informant they know. Alonzo is wild, talking suicide. Crockett and Tubbs rush to him in a black Ferrari F430, the first of the movie's fetishized vehicles that's no more than a rocket engine with a seat. Alonzo admits he was squeezed by a particularly scary drug cartel and rolled over on the feds. Then, a usual stool pigeon deer in the headlights, he steps in front of an 18-wheeler and becomes a smear. Violence here is sudden, bloody, and matter-of-fact. The federal cover is blown. There might be a mole. Crockett and Tubbs, whose cover is intact, are deputized and instructed to secretly make contact with the cartel. The meeting is to take place in the tri-border zone, where Paraguay, Brazil, and Argentina join. For a detail-obsessed director like Michael Mann, it was, of course, necessary to actually shoot there. And that is the very spirit of the film, to seize technology and tread where others have not. Miami Vice was not shot on film. Australian cinematographer Dion Beebe used the same high-definition video cameras he used to shoot Mann's last movie, Collateral. These cameras are new and temperamental. The production had terrible problems with them breaking down in the humidity. But their advantage is they are small and light, so they can penetrate almost anywhere. They allow Michael Mann a freedom directors have not felt since the 70s. The images those cameras produce, especially in low light, are grainy on the big screen, but in this case it's a great look, a match for the grit of the film. This is a dark movie, in tone and in fact, which wants us to believe we are infiltrating a hidden night world. It has no patience for sets or for cumbersome lighting setups. In this, it feels like William Friedkin's The French Connection and To Live and Die in L.A., films that devoured their real-world locations with a run-and-gun fervor. The women, the clothes, and the music are sexy, the heavies are memorable, and the compositions have the precision of advertising. But as in Mann's film Heat, it's star power that makes it so much fun. Jamie Foxx's scowling Mr. Clean, who could start a bonfire with his gaze, is an ideal foil for Colin Farrell's rumba-dancing, preening wild man. Foxx's charisma could blow Farrell off the screen, but Mann reins him in. They have summoned a world of men and their toys more potent than a year's subscription to Maxim, and man, is it cool. Miami Vice is playing at Showplace West. This and other theater and music reviews can be read or listened to or podcast by going to wfiu.indiana.edu. Reviewing movies for WFIU, this is Peter Noble Kuchera.